Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 9:30 in 716.
This law is going to have an impact on lawful gun owners.
Raising the flag over the red flag law.
One of the biggest things that we can do now to alleviate mass shootings is to do what we can to limit the means of an individual who may commit the shooting.
This is really about sort of getting in front of people that end up being shooters, because they're all troubled. They all feel like they have grievances, and they're going to act out and take what they think, you know, rightly belongs to them.
I'm Tim Wenger on 9:30 and 716. The red flag law, the law passed by the state legislature and signed by Governor Andrew Cuomo in February, prevents individuals who show signs of being a threat to themselves or others from purchasing or possessing any kind of firearm. State politicians pushed through the law in the wake of mass shootings in the country and a further need to protect the lives of others.
One of the biggest things that we can do now to alleviate mass shootings is to do what we can to limit the means of an individual who may commit the shooting.
Erie County District Attorney John Flynn promising to use common sense when it comes to enforcement of New York's controversial red flag law. Now, if you're at all interested in guns, gun rights, and the Second Amendment, this is important stuff, and while it's lengthy, hear him out.
And limiting the means of their availability, of their ability to commit a shooting, I believe, has led to now 13 states enacting the red flag law, or the extreme risk protection order law. New York State now has become the 13th state to do that. It was passed by the legislature in January. It was signed by the governor on February 25th, and it takes effect on Saturday, August 24th. Again, if you limit the means of an individual who commits a mass shooting, you, again, are identifying a person who may have some type of trauma in their life, and you are identifying a person who may have had a crisis in their life over the past weeks or months. And a family member is going to know that. If it's a student, a school official is going to know that. Someone close to this person, perhaps law enforcement in the community, may know that as well. And if they know or recognize that an individual is having trauma, has mental illness, has a drug problem, has an alcohol problem, if this individual has some type of problem with additionally the means to carry it out, i.e. they own a gun or possess a gun, if you put two and two together and you address that problem, hopefully we can prevent further mass shootings. And that's what I'm trying to do. I need to do whatever I can to make sure that we don't have here in Buffalo and Erie County a situation that happened in El Paso, in Dayton, in Parkland, in Littleton, et cetera, Connecticut, across the country, Las Vegas. The list goes on and on. So this red flag law that takes effect on Saturday is just a tool that I have now in my toolbox to prevent, hopefully, a mass shooting. So it basically, it really transforms the power that I have now as a DA. Up until Saturday, I only have the power to go into court if someone has been arrested on a charge. And that court is criminal court. I have no power up until Saturday to go into civil court at all. I have no power or jurisdiction to go into court before someone's arrested. All that's going to change on Saturday. Come Saturday, district attorneys across the state are now going to have the power to go into court, civil court, a civil Supreme Court judge, before someone's arrested on a petition of this nature. I have the power to do it. School officials have the power to do it. Police agencies have the power to do it. And family members have the power to do it as well. A family member, if they want, can hire their own lawyer and have that lawyer go into court and ask for the order. A school official, if they want, can use their own school attorney to go into court and ask for the lawyer. A town police agency, a law enforcement officer, doesn't have to come to me. The local town attorney in Hamburg or Cheektowaga, Tonawanda, wherever, they can go into court and ask for the order as well. So there are multiple individuals who have the ability to go into court and ask for the lawyer. But what I've done is, this week, a few days ago, I sent a letter, which I gave you a copy, I sent a letter to every police chief in Erie County, the sheriff, BPD commissioner as well, head of the New York State Police here. Every police official in Erie County, I sent a letter to, telling them about this law and telling them if they want, they can come to me and do it through me. In addition, I've sent a letter to every school superintendent in Erie County and told the school superintendent, if you want, come to me and I'll do it for you. And I'm telling the public right now, for every individual out there, okay, if you're a family member, if you're a friend, if you're a loved one, you don't have to get a lawyer if you don't want. If you want to hire a lawyer, that's fine. But if you don't want to hire a lawyer, you can hire me. And I will go into court on your behalf. Now, I will say this. While I recognize that it is utmost to keep the citizens of Erie County safe, I also recognize an individual's constitutional right to bear arms. Being diligent, that we are being reasonable, and that we are using a phrase that I use often, we are using common sense when we make these applications. And I assure you, just as I assure the public that I'm going to do whatever I can to keep you safe, I assure the public also that I will use common sense in bringing these applications forward. And if I think that someone is abusing this law and using this law perhaps in a vindictive way to get back at a loved one, to get back at a spouse, I will use my common sense in applying. So how this logistically works is a petitioner, so let's say I'm the petitioner, okay? A family member comes to me, a law enforcement official or school official comes to me, Mr. Flynn, here's the information, we want you to present this to the judge. So I'm the petitioner, okay? I petition the court to temporarily not only take away someone's gun, but also prevent them from buying a gun as well, all right? A judge can issue a temporary order. They have to act on that petition the first day. There's no waiting, all right? The judge has to act on that right away. If they grant that temporary order, all right, then notice has to be given to the respondent, the individual whose gun is going to be taken. Again, They don't have to have notice in the first court appearance, okay? So I can go into court without telling them I'm the first court appearance. But if the judge grants that order, then I have to then put them on notice. And then they have a right to come back to court minimum 3 days, maximum 6 days, to come back to the court for now a hearing. And the initial court appearance is probable cause. Do I have probable cause to believe that this person is a harm to himself or herself or others? If I reach that probable cause, which isn't very high, okay, it's like 51% if you want to just be, you know, do the math, all right? A probable cause, you know, just over 50%, I get that temporary order, all right? Now at the hearing, it goes up. It goes now to clear and convincing evidence. So now it's above probable cause now. It's not beyond a reasonable doubt, but it's in the middle there. Clear and convincing evidence that this person is a harm to himself or herself or a harm to others. And then at that hearing, the judge can order it, can issue the order for a year. So that's all. So there are, I believe there are safeguards in place to protect someone's rights. You have an initial court appearance, and then you have a hearing later with an elevated standard of proof. So now they have the ability now to go to that person's house. They have the ability basically to execute a search warrant where they can search his car, search his home, and search everywhere to find the guns and get the guns. And then temporarily, so the police agency is the one who's gonna take the guns. So if a school principal in Tonawanda says that, hey, this senior at Kenmore West High School is acting crazy. He's talking in the cafeteria, he's gonna blow the school up, he's gonna shoot the school up, blah, 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 blah. And then now we get evidence of that. And then now the principal calls the superintendent, they call me, they give me the evidence. You know, what's the kid saying in the cafeteria? What's the kid posting on Facebook? I'll talk to his friends just to get all the basic facts that I can. I'll now go into court, and obviously now the kid has to have a gun now too, okay? So the kid's got to be 18 years old, and the kid's got to have his own gun, all right? I can't take dad's gun. That's an important distinction, right? If a kid's talking smack, all right, I can't go in and take his dad's gun, all right? I can only take his gun if he or she has a gun. So then I would go in and get an order. Then I would call Tonawanda police. Hey, go to Joe Smith's house. He owns a gun himself or herself, and go get his gun.
In recent days, in multiple states, arrests have been made in several attempts to carry out mass shootings. Again, the arrests made before the potential shooter had the ability to act.
All were resolved or prevented potential mass shootings because the police were told about the person.
ABC crime and terrorism analyst Brad Garrett says this is all very significant.
If you look at every one of the school shootings that have occurred, the information was out there through friends, associates, classmates, etc., some information. But law enforcement didn't know about it. And so if they don't know about it, they can't get in front of it. Now, sometimes you may get in front of it and see that it doesn't amount to anything. But these cases that we're talking about this morning clearly had the potential of being catastrophes. And so the idea that people need to come forward and say, look, I'm not sure what's going on, but this person is acquiring assault weapons and making the following statements, and let law enforcement sort it out.
There's lots of discussion right now on background checks. Would they have made a difference in the most recent mass shootings?
My guess is probably not, only because if you look at a majority of the mass shootings that have successfully occurred is the people overwhelmingly had the weapons legally. They had gone through the system of being, you know, the delay, going to a gun shop, buying the gun, waiting, picking it up. Because the big difference is, if you look at a vast majority of the homicides in this country, they're not mass shootings. We talk about them more because they're so catastrophic. But, you know, the day-to-day is people picking up guns and either killing themselves or somebody else. And, you know, the idea of maybe more consistent background checks or more comprehensive, where even private sales, you have to do a background check, I think could reduce those numbers, but not so much maybe with mass shooters.
So in identifying these people, you know, beforehand, it still see something, say something for most people. But for police and law enforcement, what have they been able to do differently, if anything, other than just rely on what people see?
To be able to quickly act on the information they have. So in other words, like in these three recent shootings in Connecticut, Florida, etc., you know, law enforcement also had information that the shooter had acquired large amounts of ammunition. They now have, you know, they're better able to check these things quicker, I guess is the short answer, and more quickly connect with local law enforcement. I mean, one of the tips, and I believe it's the one in Connecticut, they actually called, someone called the FBI, and then it started, and they immediately went to the police and started working with them and figured out who this person was, and then they, you know, ultimately arrested them. So working better, because think about this, there are 18,000 law enforcement agencies in this country. Trying to coordinate sometimes, you know, can be tricky.
We don't know, Brad, if there is an appetite for gun control legislation in Congress, but is there a bill that you've been following that you think would help?
You know, probably not a bill. I mean, I'm certainly somebody who believes that, as we just talked, background checks, we need to spend a lot more money in treatment. And I'm not talking about people that have been adjudicated mentally ill, but troubled kids in school, identifying them. This is really about sort of getting in front of people that end up being shooters, because they're all troubled. They all feel like they have grievances, and they're going to act out and take what they think, you know, rightly belongs to them. And even though that's totally illogical. And so we need to spend more money in identifying, treating, and, you know, ultimately building communities in schools, in companies, wherever, where people feel more comfortable to come forward. So that really doesn't have a lot to do with laws. You know, laws are easy. You can pass them. But there are so many different ways around them that my belief is, and it's much, what I just proposed is harder to do, and it takes longer. But that's the real key. It's just like in these cases, is getting in front of shooters.
Seems like a lot of people have the information as far as what to watch out for, you know, what some of these warning signs are. But then, you know, taking that next step, that's the is that the next hurdle that people have to, you know, clear to kind of make this go along and work with law enforcement? Because while people will identify some of those things, they might not necessarily say something out loud for one reason or another.
Right. That is correct. And particularly if you look, let's say that these three shooters most recently arrested, or would-be shooters, that they were all like not in school anymore. They weren't, at least out of the public school system, where, you know, they tend, generally speaking, to do a little better job of keeping track of kids with issues. And so we have to figure out some way to sort of move oversight of people once they maybe leave a school system. But yes, this all completely goes back to people coming forward. I know people don't like to do that, but you're just going to have to do it if you think you got somebody that could commit such a horrendous act.
That's 930 in 716. We're back tomorrow with another edition from the studios of WBEN Buffalo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.